the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
You are so excited about the Spice Girls coming to Australia, announced over the weekend. You can say you're not excited. I'm not setting you up here. You can't actually just say, not excited.
I'm not really excited. I think it's got to be the whole band back together or nothing.
So you would be excited if Victoria was coming?
I mean, I still wouldn't go, but at least it would make sense if the whole band was, the whole gang was back together. But I still think it's weird that there's only four of them, not Victoria. She obviously has enough money. And
don't they all have enough money?
Surely the royalties check would still be coming.
But then, I don't know. But then I saw Adele on her Instagram. She went to the Spice Girls and went Burko because she absolutely loves them. Mm. So I'd go to a Spice Girls concert to see Adele.
Okay, that's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Here's the best of today's show.
Those Two Girls.
Got a story to kick it off that I think you'll enjoy, Sarah. You're supposed to say, oh, can't wait to hear it,
Lise. I second that motion.
Thank you.
Please continue. I know I'll enjoy it. I don't even have to verbalise that.
So as our regular listeners will know, my husband Dane is a
fireman.
Firefighter. That is correct. And on the weekend, he went to a fire. That's what they do. Okay.
Do they?
But.
I just thought they stayed around in the main digs and kind of slept and worked out. And
they do that too. But the fire was, I mean, look, it all turned out well. No one was injured thanks to the firefighters. But the fire occurred in a pet shop, Sarah, one of those big pet superstores, where they sell everything. They sell animals. They sell all the equipment.
Do they sell animals?
Yes.
Stop
as
it.
Well. Anyway, so the crew rocked up. And thankfully, the majority of the animals are kept in a back sort of warehouse. So the animals were fine.
Okay.
The firefighters walked through to the main part of the store where all the accoutrements of pet ownership are.
We're talking pet beds. We're talking kitty litter. We're talking collars and squeegee toys.
And as the smoke was billowing and they were clearing everything out and making sure there was nothing in there, my husband Dane spotted something and he said, oh dear, he spotted a blue tongue lizard in the main part of the shop. And he said, I need to save it. This is a native animal. Yeah, he thought, what is it doing here? All the animals meant to be back. He was like, this is my moment. This is my savior moment. And he went and he said, through the intercom to his boys, to his crew, he said, guys, I'm coming, but I need to save the blue tongue. And he reached for the blue tongue and then realized that the blue tongue was in fact an ornamental cement blue tongue. And as he tried to wrench it off the desk, he realised that it was firmly affixed because it was not real. So now all the guys in his crew are like, you suck, but yay for you.
Some of those things do look very realistic though.
He was like, that poor little guy, this is his moment. I'm like, nah, made of rock.
Wow, who do you want at your rescue? There are a few things in life that give me more joy than a beautiful animal story. And one has surfaced, quite literally, in the sea off Thailand. So, a baby dugong that got separated from its mother was rescued by marine experts, right? Only 5 months old, and they've taken her in to rehabilitate her and have released her back into the wild. But here's the thing. This baby dugong has grown attached to the people who rescued her, so much so that she loves receiving hugs from them. She is a hugging dugong, right? So they've released her back into a well-known dugong habitat off the coast in Thailand, and every day they go and check on her. So she doesn't swim with the herd. She'll come back over to the people and they'll feed her milk and seagrass and she'll give them cuddles and vice versa. Isn't that a lovely story,
That's
Scott?
That's lovely.
Beautiful.
But, Lise, you're saying it's lovely, but here's the thing. I seem to remember a time a few short years ago when, during your modelling career, were booked for a Tourism Australia campaign.
That's right.
Now,
you're
big
the
one.
Where the bloody hell are you lady, aren't you?
I'm the old version of Lara Bingle.
Yeah, that's right. No.
But they never gave me a speaking part.
But that's because Chris Hemsworth had the speaking part, okay?
So he voiced
the ad. Now, this particular ad was filmed off the coast up in the Whitsundays. And I said to Lise, wow, you must be so excited. What a great campaign to book. And then you'd said, yeah, but I've got to jump off a yacht into the ocean. And I said, oh, good grief, that's me done. How are you feeling about the sharks? Mm. And you said, it's not the sharks I'm worried about. It's the dugongs.
Oh, that's correct. What? I mean, people may say that they're the most docile and defenseless creature there is, but you know what? I don't trust an animal that has three names. Okay? Dugong, sea cow, manatee. What the hell are you? Also, your face is terrifying and you are very large.
Have you ever heard of somebody scared of a dugong? Like, these things have never, ever, ever been known to hurt people. You had no problem jumping in. No, the thought of a great white lurking beneath you didn't bother you at all.
No.
But a dugong, a great big lump of fat that floats through the ocean.
I don't know.
And
I mean,
actually has a curly smile for its face.
What's wrong with its face?
You. Nothing.
Everything is wrong with its face.
They're so cute.
Would you want to come? Sarah, you wouldn't even dip a toe
absolutely
in an open
not,
water.
Because sharks are, that's me done. No, I'd have a heart attack just being in open water.
If a dugong swam up to you.
As long as I knew it was a dugong.
Well, that's right, but you don't in open water. You wouldn't. You wouldn't, and you don't have a very good eyesight, so you
maybe
would be.
I'm like a dugong in that. They don't have good eyesight too. Cut them some slack. They're just coming up being friendly, and so much so this baby dugong they think actually has also formed a bond to the underside of canoes.
In a lot of ways, haven't we all?
So I just wanted to look. I guess point out how heartless you are to people.
If there is an opportunity for me to swim with a dugong, I would face my fear.
Yeah, well, there's nothing to be scared about, so that's not a big one. What are you worried about, that it's going to bomb dive you?
You know, you always hear stories of like, what
no,
are they called?
You never
like
hear a story about
killer
a dugong.
Whales.
Killer, but they're called killer whales for a reason. Those things are bloody terrifying.
But even dolphins have like been known to accidentally drown people. I feel a dugong could do that.
But it never has. Do you think you're going to be the first person a dugong takes off the planet?
I'm uncomfortable with uncertainty. There's a certain anxiety around.
Then shouldn't you be uncertain about flies landing on you? Like, what animal isn't a danger to you if it's about uncertainty?
Minnie, my great dame.
She actually wants to kill you.
Desperately.
I've seen her face. You just can't read the signs. You're worried about a dugong's beady little eyes. Look a bit closer. Look on your lounge, Lise.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Look, there's an emergency room doctor up in Queensland who has had enough. He's had enough of power tool accidents, so much so that he has co-authored new research on the DIY revolution and the amount of injuries it is causing people, and basically the overall the fact that the cost and impact of power tool injuries is grossly underestimated.
So we're not talking about tradies here. We're talking about weekend warriors at Bunnings.
Here's the thing. Half of those people injured have no formal training. So you could also say that half of them do. So tradies are in that mix, right? So, I guess that, people are going off to Bunnings or hardware stores on the weekends and they're buying their power tools and they're going home and they're maybe modifying some of the equipment or they're not wearing the appropriate safety equipment. And next minute you're in a spot of bother. You might have lost a toe. All right. Now, that happened to my grandfather. He lost a toe on the lawnmower.
What?
He did.
Shut up.
That's not uncommon. This is the thing. 96% of these accidents happened to men. The only exception were lawnmowers, where 40% of accidents happened to women. And basically that's because people aren't wearing appropriate
shoes. How
the hell
are you mowing if you, like, how, like, you, when I mow, A,
you don't
it's,
mow.
I do mow.
That's a lie. You
Sarah,
don't mow.
Okay, you last week Sarah declared that she had never mowed a lawn,
no,
which is
okay.
The most embarrassing thing to
it's
admit.
It's not embarrassing.
It is.
No, I do.
You're a
no.
grown-ass woman, okay?
Yeah, I've got a grown-ass husband who can do it.
Every woman needs to know how to mow a lawn.
I don't.
I can use
I've
a pushy,
someone.
A pushy and a ride-on. Get with it, Sarah. Well,
good on you, but you can, just because you can doesn't mean you do.
That sounds
Show
fine.
Me your toes. Have you got them all?
I've got all my toes. Thank you very much.
Well, I mean, they're saying that. I mean, there's one example here from a bloke talking about modifying the power tools. One man got tired of the cord on the whippersnipper breaking, so he replaced it with wire. And the first time it hit something, the wire shattered, and unfortunately, it went through his ankle.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Why?
I mean, my dad lost a finger. This obviously runs down my paternal line. My dad lost a finger because he's a maintenance man, and he was using something with some kind of cord, and ripped his finger off.
Oh my God! Jeez.
And when it was in his workplace actually, and they kept it in a jar, floating as like an occupational health and safety warning. This was back in the 80s. Obviously, they don't keep fingers in bobbing around in glasses anymore, which is a shame. Maybe they
should.
So I guess I'm interested. I'm interested if we throw open the phones on 13 10 60 and ask, how have you hurt yourself using a power tool?
You know what? We have so many tradies listening in. Guys, I want the gore. Bring me the solid stories. I like this kind of stuff. You know I like this stuff.
Yeah. There were more than 4,000 people injured over 8 years in one hospital alone from power tools.
Wow.
I'm telling you, this is, and more than half of, obviously they all happen on the weekends. There's twice as many men rocking up on weekends to hospitals with power tool injuries than they are during the week. I'm telling you, it's DIY gone wrong.
Okay. 13, 10, 60. Are we going with the power tool? How'd you hurt yourself with the power tool?
That's what the entire break was, Scotty.
Yeah,
Were you with us?
Your note here, it just says, how did you hurt yourself?
It says power tools. How'd you hurt yourself?
Sorry, I thought that was the nickname for the show. 13, 10, 60. How did you hurt yourself with a power tool? Lance has called through on 13, 10, 60. Morning, Lance.
Hi, how you going?
Good. What did you do, Lance?
So, I used to work for a pipe manufacturing company in Toowoomba. And basically, I was a maintenance fitter, using a drill press, drilling through some thin gauge steel. I was a bit upset with how long it was taking because I was under the pump. Started pulling the drill press a bit harder, but I sped it up because it was a pedal drive, which is a very big industrial machine.
Yeah, I'm across the pedal drive.
Oh, my God.
What happened?
Keep going, Lance.
What ended up happening was it grabbed the chuck, spun the material in the machine, and it hit my hand. And I stood there for about 3 minutes looking around because I was a bit dazed from the whole situation. And the electricians, because there used to be five of us in the same work spot, and he looks at me and he goes, I think you need to go to hospital, mate. And I was like, no, just, she's right. It just knocked me around a bit. I look down and there's a pool of blood, probably about half a metre around. my left hand thing, so my left hand, if you're looking at your thumb, your pointer, and then your next finger, it was shattered to pieces.
No way. Do you still have that finger, Lance?
Yes. Yeah, I've still got it. I end up with a pin through the end of it and 35 stitches.
Oh, that's a solid. Well, I can confirm that the drill is number 3 on the most number of DIY power tool injuries.
Oh, my God.
So there
Lance.
You go.
Lance, that was a solid call
intense.
To kick things off.
Olivia on 13, 10, 60. Has someone been a power tool fool in your life?
No, Olivia's gone.
Olivia's gone. Okay, Chris, what a shame. I did see something about her.
Chris, are you there?
I am.
Yeah, Chris is there.
Chris, what happened with you and a power tool, my friend?
It wasn't myself. It was actually one of my mates about 20 years ago.
Mm.
We'd had a Sunday session. We're a little bit dusty, so we've gone into work a little bit under the weather.
Mm.
By the end of the day, we're a little bit tired. He's been on the table saw all day. And we've just had Smoko. We've gone back to Smoko, and he's put his hand into the table saw.
Oh my gosh!
It's grabbed his fingers, pulled the back of his hand in. He's gone down. We've all seen it. We've run across to grab him. He's just gone into complete shock.
Yes.
We've taken him across to the wash basin to clean his hand up and start looking for the bits that are missing.
Oh.
And as we got across there, he's faded, and his chin's fallen down and hit the basin and knocked himself out cold.
Oh,
he doesn't remember a thing about it.
Well, that's probably a good thing because Chris, we're all slightly traumatized listening to it.
Did he lose any part of his hand?
He lost two of his fingers, and his hand was extremely mangled, and he has no feeling in his right hand.
Wow,
Chris, that's terrible.
Oh, well, can confirm a saw is number 2 on the tools that cause the most injuries.
Number 1.
Did we get Olivia? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Olivia, you came back to us. Thank you. Do you have somebody in your life who had a bit of a run-in with a power tool?
Yes, my partner.
What happened?
A couple of weeks ago, he decided it would be a good idea to cut down trees with a chainsaw wearing thongs.
Sounds like my husband.
Yeah. That didn't end well. He dropped the chainsaw, didn't cut his thongs. Cut off his toe instead.
He did another toe gone, Sarah. What is it with toes?
I'm not laughing. I can just hear Olivia chuckling in the background. That's all.
I've spent so much, the better part of 10 years, telling him not to do things. He learns the hard way.
Olivia, which toe did he lose?
So the second toe, he severed 20% of the tendon. He was in surgery for 4 hours to kind of stitch that back to where it should be. He has no feeling in it anymore. He could kick it. He doesn't know it's there. Like, he can't feel it at all. And he thinks it's hilarious.
I mean, look, that is a silver lining, because the number of times I kick my toe on a couch, I'm not happy with that.
That's
so
true.
Olivia's husband is like sweet when it comes to that now.
Well, there you go. The people have spoken. They've confirmed the research. Power tools are a problem. You want to know what the number one was? A grinder.
Oh, I don't even want to think about that.
A grinder. Yeah. Well, there you go. I could listen to those stories all day, actually.
Those two girls.
I feel like giving you a little prayer hands emojis, because sometimes I feel like you need my prayers, Scotty.
Most of the day.
Now, I want to talk about this particular emoji, because people use these in texts all day long, Sarah. Are you familiar with the two little hands pressed up saying namaste or
yes,
thank you or please
it,
pray for me?
I use it as a thank you. Mostly.
Yes. Or can you please do this for me?
Yeah.
Prayer hands. I'm sure you guys
out
there know.
It's basically a begging tool in my world.
It is. Now, my world was turned on its head late last week when it came out online that the prayer emoji, otherwise known as the folded hands emoji, is actually a high five.
No, it isn't.
Well,
what?
It is absolutely not a high five.
The world is divided, because people are saying if you look at it, the two hands are placed firmly together, but it could also be two different hands giving the other hand a high five. And if
this makes me really uncomfortable.
As it should, because if you think of the context,
yeah,
like I sent that emoji, Sarah, to a girlfriend of mine who'd recently announced that her beloved family pet had carked it. And I said, I'm so sorry for your loss. Prayer hands, which now potentially means high five. I've high fived her dog dying.
And then did you say LOL, lots of love at the end?
No, but I mean, look, I
that's
still
too much.
Firmly.
But on the flip side, if you've got people out there thinking that it means a high five and people are sending them prayer hands,
it
could be something like, you know, enjoy your flight, praying. You know, this is a real spectrum of different meanings for those
really
folded hands.
It really is. I have done my digging, and I've also been talking to a lot of people, so I'm going to tell you what I have. On emojipedia.org, which is a wonderful source of information and a trusted one.
We're all familiar with that.
Sounds like you'd reference that in a bibliography.
The folded hands. It says here, everybody, two hands placed firmly together, meaning please or thank you. A common alternative use for this emoji is for prayer, using the same gesture as praying hands. Less common use, a high five. So even the Emojipedia is saying it's also known as a high five. Wait, there's more.
Go.
I've had people contact me and say it's definitely not a high five, Lee. At least is if that was the case, think about it. Look at it. It's two left hands. And who the hell high fives with their left hands? Unless you somehow manage to find two left-handed people. Because if you look at it, look at their thumb placements, Sarah. Look at the emoji. There are two left
hands. High five me right
hands.
Now with your left hand.
What?
What?
Yes. That's weird.
It's wrong.
Okay.
It's not.
Then further evidence. Both sleeves are blue. So is it really two
praying.
People? Is it really two people both with blue cuffs? No. Another person said, I'm sure Pope Francis uses this emoji every day on his social media accounts.
Yeah.
Now,
look.
If Pope Francis, the head of the Catholic Church, is using the blue cuffed,
I mean,
folded
you know, there's,
hands.
People say thoughts and prayers. Maybe it could be changed to thoughts and high fives. That's quite nice.
Then there's also the GIF that is pray for Kanye that employs that emoji.
I really like how passionate you are about this. Did another person contact you and another person?
Yes, I had a lot of people up in arms about it or up
up in hands.
This is the Those Two Girls Catch Up.
great investigative journalism there from one Lewis
Carlo. Did you say investigative?
Yeah, I missed the T. If you want to pay you the daily ratio. Yeah,
I tell you who's going to be giving a high five or a namaste hands. It's my friends Patrick and Scott. I told them I'd give them a shout out. Sarah, they were in our inbox, which you are unfamiliar with because I reply to everyone.
No, you don't reply to everyone.
I do. I reply to most everyone. Patrick and Scott, they are traffic controllers from Burnaby. Is that a place? Can someone Google it? Is it Burnaby? Burnaby?
Can you tell me how to spell it?
Like Burner, B-E-R-N-A-R-A-B-Y. Maybe it's misspelt.
B-E-R-N-A-R.
And then Raby.
See that response? Oh, wow. You know that was me, right? I replied to them, not you.
Well, that's the one in about 6 months anyway, but I'm doing the shout out. So Patrick and Scott, they listen to us every morning on their way
Everyone's got to take a guess about where exactly they are in the world.
Barnaby. Burnaby.
Where? What's it near? Name something that everyone knows. What's it near?
It'll be near Newcastle.
Near Newcastle, near...
I'm going to say they're in Geelong.
Just south
of...
Gladstone.
Gladstone! Oh, they're Queenslanders! Well, they're traffic controllers. They listen to us every morning. So, Patrick and Scott, we're here for you.
That's beautiful.
Actually, pray hands.
You know what? We have nothing. We have nothing more to give. I'm pressing stop on this podcast. Enjoy your Monday.
Tickety-boo. Off she goes home. That's it for today's Those Two Girls catch-up. But you can score even more catch-ups just like this one. Download the Hit app and keep up with the girls on Facebook and Instagram.